Your Money Briefing. Money and Market Stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Banks and financial companies account for a substantial amount of settlements and fines paid out in lawsuits alleging workplace compensation discrepancies. We'll run the numbers in a moment. First, these money headlines. The Labor Department says for the first time since such record-keeping began in 2000, the number of available positions exceeded the number of Americans without jobs and actively looking. U.S. job openings rose to a seasonally adjusted 6.7 million at the end of April. That's also a record high. And it was more than the 6.3 million Americans who were unemployed during the month. In April, there were 1.3 million openings in broad business services sector, which includes everything from accountants and software developers to temporary staffers and clerical workers. Healthcare and social assistance followed closely behind with 1.1 million unfilled jobs. An International Monetary Fund study has turned up a peculiar cause of recessions. That's good economic forecasts. IMF argues that positive forecasts led the public and private sector to celebrate by borrowing more, which encourages the sort of debt accumulation that builds frailties in the economic system, harming growth. The IMF, by the way, has also missed most recessions in its forecasts, predicting only 24% of recessions 1 year ahead of the event. And the Social Security program's cost will exceed its income this year for the first time since 1982, forcing the program to dip into its nearly $3 trillion trust fund to cover benefits. The annual report by the trustees of Social Security and Medicare, released on Tuesday, said that by 2034, those reserves will be depleted and Social Security will no longer be able to send its full scheduled benefits. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
This podcast is sponsored by Intel. Not that you would push your computer to new limits, but you could with the 8th Gen Intel Core Processor with Intel Optane Memory. And when I say push, I'm not just talking about opening Photoshop. I'm talking about opening Photoshop and Illustrator and every application on your computer at the same time, just for fun. New computers powered by the 8th Gen Intel Core Processor with Intel Optane Memory are now faster and more responsive, which means you can open, load, and launch like never before. Learn more at intel.com/you could.
Welcome back, everybody. Since 2000, banks and insurance companies have paid some of the largest settlements in lawsuits stemming from alleged inadequate worker compensation. And Wall Street Journal workplace reporter Lauren Weber joins us to discuss. So, Lauren, lawsuits that allege wage discrepancies are filed with a range of accusations.
That's right. These are often called wage theft cases, which is a term that makes it sound like employers are literally stealing their pay from workers. It's not quite as clear-cut as that, but what it means is that workers are alleging that they're not being paid for all the time that they're working. So it might be a situation where managers ask people to clock out, but then ask them to do some cleaning up tasks or other work-related jobs. And then in a lot of cases, it's workers being asked to work overtime, but either not being compensated for that, even if they are eligible for overtime, or managers classifying their workers as exempt from overtime pay and workers questioning that classification and bringing a lawsuit based on it.
And financial services companies were among the most that paid settlements over the past 18 years or so.
Yeah, we looked at a report from an organization that compiled class action lawsuits, class action settlements and penalties over the last 18 years. And they found that six of the top 12 payers in these kinds of wage theft cases were banks and financial services companies. One of the examples was Bank of America, which in 2013 paid $73 million to settle allegations from some retail branch and call center employees that the bank didn't pay them for overtime. JP Morgan was the subject of a $42 million settlement in 2011. Wells Fargo had a case that settled earlier this year for $27.5 million. And they're currently fighting another case where a judge ordered them to pay about $97 million.
And Walmart tops the list, having paid out more than $1 billion in fines and settlements. But there's a little more to the story than that.
Yeah, well, that includes a lot of lawsuits that were consolidated. One was a 2008 payment for about $352 million where from workers that alleged that they were asked to do job tasks off the clock after they had already clocked out. Then there was another $242 million payment from a couple of years ago. So that's a bunch of different lawsuits. And, you know, in truth, we associate these kinds of lawsuits with lower paid workers, retail, hospitality, fast food companies. But the interesting thing about this report was that they found that many higher paid workers have also filed suits with these kinds of allegations. You don't necessarily think of stockbrokers or financial advisors as a class of occupations that employers are not paying adequately. But many banks, as I said, have settled these kinds of cases.
So it's not just hourly workers that would clock in and clock out.
That's right. Or in some cases, it's salaried workers who also believe that they should have been paid overtime for working additional hours. Now, I should also say that in many of these settlements, the companies don't admit wrongdoing. So, you know, often they will settle partly just to put an end to the lawsuit. And so, again, we kind of refer to these as allegations.
Now, you spoke with someone who used to work with the New York State Attorney General's office and who described how employers try to push back against the accusations.
Right. Well, again, when you're talking about employees who don't punch a time card, sometimes it is a fine line between who's eligible for overtime pay. There are certain exemptions with federal law over who needs to be paid for any hours worked above 40 hours. There's a lot of gray area. And so employers do have some room to push back when workers say, hey, I wasn't paid adequately for my time. Companies do argue back that in certain occupations, their employees are not eligible for that overtime pay. So, you know, because there's a lot of gray area, that's one reason there's a lot of litigation.
And a recent Supreme Court case could actually limit the number of class action lawsuits that we see brought in the future.
That's true. This has been a very big area in employment law, these kinds of wage and hour cases. But often they rely on getting class action status because for many lawyers, it's not worth it to file a case on behalf of someone who may be owed a few $100s or even a few $1,000s. However, the Supreme Court just last month ruled in favor of employers that they can enforce something called class action waivers, arbitration agreements with class action waivers. Arbitration clauses, which are often included in an employment agreement, say that workers have to bring grievances through an arbitration process, which tends to be private, rather than through the public court system. Many employers have added these class action waivers to it, which say that these cases or any kind of grievance must be brought individually. Well, many lawyers won't take a case like this that will, like I said, only involve a nominal amount of money. So everyone I spoke to on every side of the ideological divide on this issue agreed that we will see far fewer of these wage theft cases.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber joining us here in our studio. Lauren, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.